Are y'all not going to say amen or something or clap? Or, I mean, you know, he sung his heart out for us. And
always a joy to hear this band. Kind of surprised to see me here, huh? I asked him not to tell you that I was coming. It would have affected the attendance, I'm afraid. It's good to be here, though. Really is, and to be with the Reverend Dana Hamilton again. We were here for 7 years together. I think it was seven. I had a funny thing happen this morning. I was, you know, coming in, and I thought I'd help Millie up the stairs, you know, out there. And as she's coming up, she said, "Oh, I'm so glad to be coming today. I'm excited kind of to be hearing Ray preach." And I said, "Well, you know, he's not preaching today." And she paused, and she said, "Well, who is?" And I said, "I am." She said, "Could you take me back down?" That's just the first of several stretches of reality that may come your way. It really is good to be here. I guess you've decided or looked and seen that she's not Tyler. She's not Tyler, and I'm not Ray, and the scripture is not the same. So just throw your bulletin out. I think we're going to talk about thy kingdom come. And the first scripture is from Matthew 6. Jesus said, "When you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees you in secret will reward you. And in praying, do not heap up empty praises as the Gentiles do," for that's us, by the way, "for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask." And then he says, "Pray then like this." He says, "Pray then like this." And I think you've heard these words before. "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And then he says, "If you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses against you, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." I think you've heard that before, but I want to lift up one other scripture, and I'll use the modern English version from Luke 17. When he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, "The kingdom does not come as you're looking for it, nor will they say, 'Here it is, there it is.' For remember, the kingdom of God is within you." The kingdom of God is within you. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Lord, fill me up with your stuff, and when I've said enough, set me down. Amen. Thy kingdom come. Have you ever heard that phrase? Recently, maybe. I've heard that phrase. Said that phrase thousands of times. I counted up just for fun, and I think I've used those words over 4,000 times as I've led worship through the years. And how many countless thousands of times have I done that in my private prayers, and you as well? What's embarrassing is sometimes when I'm praying that prayer up here, I'll lose my place. I'll forget where I am. I've got distracted. Somebody's walking or talking as they are now in the narthex, and I wonder who that is. And I look and see Bob Callison sleeping again. You know? And so is Clyde. They do that every time I used to preach. It's the prayer of Jesus. The disciples, like disciples of other rabbis, would say, teach us how to pray. And the prayer would be, well, the sum of their teachings. It would be the way they would approach God, or the way they would seek to live their life, how they'd direct the purposes of their life. The rabbi's prayer was very important. This morning I want to explore just that phrase, thy kingdom come. Sometimes I wonder, that language is from 2,000 years ago or so. Now we use, most typically here, language from the 17th century, from 1603. It's amazing how that old language is ingrained in our hearts. I can go into a nursing home and lead a service, and some of the residents will come into the service in a wheelchair, and some are almost comatose. They may not remember their name, certainly not mine. But if I invite them to pray the Lord's Prayer, it's like it awakens something in their soul and they pray it. Same thing happens when, and they use that same prayer that we use. Sometimes I'll be at a graveside, remembering a loved one, and I'll invite those present, some Catholics, Baptists, Episcopalians, Lutherans, and even Methodists, and I'll say, let's pray the Lord's Prayer, and those same 17th century words come out. It's just ingrained in us. It is amazing. The power of that prayer, huh? And sometimes, you know, we pray it and we're distracted, and she's thinking about her grocery list. He's thinking about who he's going to play golf with tomorrow. You know, just our minds wander because we know it so well, and we just go on and on. But Ken Bailey, a New Testament scholar, talked about how he was visiting with a Latvian woman, Eastern Uran woman, on the border of Russia. She said when she was growing up, even as a young woman, the communists would not let her go to church. There was no church. She couldn't go to Sunday school. She couldn't be in a Bible study. But she'd heard this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, at funerals. And after the communist regime was gone, she remembered that prayer, and it was something about the words that led her back into the good news. There's power in this prayer. Sometimes when I'm praying, I'll use that common or traditional lectio divino, a means of praying and meditating. You take a scripture and you just slowly think through, walk through it. You can do the same with the Lord's Prayer. Instead of just praying it to check it off, you pause with every word or phrase. You begin our. Our. What's our mean? Can you just, next time you pray, think about our. Me? Yeah, but our. And this morning, who would you pray for as you say our? The victims of the flood along the Guadalupe. Huh? Those who have died. Those who are mourning the loss of a loved one. Those who are mourning, grieving over their lost home or their lost business. Our. Thank God Jesus meant that to be a pretty broad sort of reflection. So as you begin at prayer, just stop and think, who today is ours that I need to remember? And then, Father, Abba. That's the first word that children in the Middle East learn. Babies, Abba, Abba. Now, I know that saying our father really ought to be our mother, or, you know, because there are abusive fathers and there are abusive mothers. But there's that image of a father I love, a parent. Gospel of Luke chapter 15, parable of the father who has two prodigal sons, two rascals. You remember them, not just the one who goes off into the far country, but the other one as well. And there's that father offering his steadfast love always to those two. Abba, Father, the one who cares for us as his children. Thy kingdom come. What's that phrase mean? Kingdom. I don't want a kingdom to come, actually. I mean, not since 1776 have I wanted a kingdom in our country, and not in 2025. There were 8 to 12 million people who rallied recently. We don't want a king. We don't want a kingdom. So what do you do when you pray that? How do you make sense of that? How do you translate that into where you are? I think instead of thy kingdom come, I think of may your reign of grace come. Your reign of love. Your rule of justice come. How do you make fulfilled? And the kingdom of God has come near. That's the way he begins his ministry, saying the kingdom of God has come near. And then when he's teaching his disciples, they ask him about his teaching in parables, and he said to them, you've been given the secret of the kingdom of God. Huh? Again and again and again, you see Jesus lifting up, calling upon us to know the kingdom of God. In Matthew 6, he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all else shall be added unto you. Seek ye first. You know that song, don't you? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What's it mean? It meant a lot to Jesus. When you pray the prayer, pause and wonder, what's it mean? It's funny. In Luke, there's this passage I really want to focus on today. Some Pharisees asked Jesus when the kingdom of God would come. His answer was, the kingdom does not come in such a way as to be seen. No one will say, look, here it is, or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. Now, what's he mean by the kingdom of God is within you? Is he talking about you or y'all? Or all y'all? Is it singular or is it plural? Wonder about that as you pray this prayer. Perhaps you've heard of, well, what's it mean for you to realize and think that the reign of grace is within you? What's it mean for you to pray that the rule of justice might be in your life? You, singular. Jesus says in the Gospel of John, abide in me, or live in me, or dwell in me as I abide in you. And if you abide in me, if you live in me, if you dwell with me, then my words will live, abide in you. And if you keep your commandments and abide in God's love, my joy will be in you and your joy will be complete. If there are ways in which you find the kingdom of God, the place of grace in your heart, then God is with you. Some of you may have heard of Brother Lawrence and his little book called Practicing the Presence of God. Now, he was just a dishwasher in a monastery. But he discovered, he had been a soldier, he had fought in battles in Europe. He was a hardened man who had lost some of his abilities. But he practiced the presence of God as though the kingdom of God was within him. Now, do you act differently when the preacher's around? I've seen that and laughed at that sometimes when people say, "Oh, you're a preacher? I used to go to Sunday school." "Oh, really? I thought we were talking about, you know." Or do you act differently when your mother or your father or your brother, your sister, your boss, your spouse is there? Do you speak differently? Do you act differently because you're in the presence of someone important? Well, Brother Lawrence wanted us to practice the presence of God as though always, everywhere, we are in that reign of grace. Always there's that steadfast love that welcomes us unconditionally. That may be what it means to me. So what does it mean to you when Jesus says the kingdom of God is within you? Let's think about what it might mean if the kingdom of God is within y'all. All y'all. As though somehow here the kingdom of God, the reign of grace is here in worship or in Family Life Center when we gather for meals or when we show up for a build a ramp or when we go to Mason, when we take the kingdom of God, the rule of justice, the world of love with us. Does Jesus give us any idea what it might look like if we have that kingdom of God within our life? You know, he was Jewish. Y'all know that, right? And he was dark-skinned, and he was a Middle Easterner, Palestinian, Israeli. I don't know. If he showed up today, ICE would probably take him away. But for him, the Scriptures, that is to say the Hebrew Scriptures, the Old Testament, well, that's what he grew up on. That's what he prayed with. He knew Psalm 23 before you did. But the prophets, those who lifted up justice, fairness, was important to him. He would have known Micah 6. Do you know that passage from 6:6? Jesus did. With what will the Lord require of you? He's told you, O mortal, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. When he was invited at Capernaum to go into the synagogue and read and comment on the reading of that day, he unrolled the scroll and then he read from Isaiah 6. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind and to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of our Lord. Those were his words lifted up out of Scripture. He wanted his listeners to know. Do you remember the prayer, or rather the parable of the Last Judgment in Matthew 25? Huh. Yeah, you do. Jesus is talking about the sheep and the goats. Some of you are old goats, but that's not what he was talking about. I was hungry and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was in prison and you visited me. I was sick and you came to me. And they all want to go, well, when was it we did that, Lord? It's like, when you did it to the least of these, you did it unto me. For him, when he talks about the kingdom of God is within you, it means that you, we, y'all carry that reign of grace into the world. Now, those are some of the things that prayer means to me when I pray. I guess the question for me this morning is to ask you, what's it mean to you? Next time you pray, which is going to be pretty soon, think about what it means for you here and at home to want the kingdom of God to dwell in you. That reign of grace, that place of peace, that remembrance and expression of the everlasting love of God. So you just remember that underneath are the everlasting arms of God. Let us pray. We pray to have heard your word from Scripture this morning. And we pray, O God, that your Spirit has allowed us to hear more within our soul. May we live out the good news that we may have heard. Amen.